Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by joinlapd.com. We're committed to maintaining the health and safety of all Angelenos. Join our team today. Thank you to LAPD for being a part of the show. Okay, Kirk, so can we make some predictions here on the Rams? Can we kind of look game by game and you just give me a W or an L? Fill me in, because listen, those are starting to come out now where, you know, you got the over and unders of how many wins they think each team in the league is going to have. So let's just stay with the Rams. I want to go one by one and give me kind of your thoughts. And I know it's super early, but still, I'm sure you can make your predictions on this. So to start and to open SoFi Stadium on September 13th, Rams, Cowboys, who do you like in that one?
Oh, man. Rams, Cowboys. I'm going to go with the Rams. Just early on. I know it's way too early. I hate to make the predictions, Alan, but I always just look at I give some reasons why I think the Rams can have a good game, right? A lot of it's going to be around the new stadium, the emotions, things like that. Dallas, like I said before, they've kind of been a part of it before with their own building. So some people may say, yeah, well, you might want to lean toward Dallas because they've been through it before. But I feel like it's Sean McVay, his new offense. And then remember, not new offense, but the way that he's going to treat, I think, preseason again this year. I think his team would be ready to go. A lot of people are kind of counting them out, but I still feel like this is a team that's going to win. For me, it's that next 2 weeks, though, Alan. Okay, that's the one. I got to split between the Eagles and the Bills. You got to split one of those.
It's just okay.
A tough one.
But you take win. That, don't you? I mean, Buffalo 10-6 last year, and I know Philly winning their division 9-7. It's not Rams go 9-7; they don't even make the playoffs. But it's still a good team on the road. If you split those two games, I think you got to walk away feeling good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to feel good. I'm feel great. just because that's a trip that, you know, speaking to Kevin Dimoff earlier, what did he say? He said, look, at least look, we have, you know, some games in Florida and in the New York Eastern time zone pretty much. Could you give us a back to back or something like that? And look, the schedule gods make it. Mr. Howard Katz and those guys, man, I know the schedule makers, right? You know, they gave the Rams a bone there. They gave them the Eagles 1 week and then at Bills the next week. So that's a scary stretch in the beginning that you can't go 0-2. You got to win at least one of those games. And so for me, I think the easier game or the game with the least amount of difficulty for the Rams to possibly win, I honestly think at Buffalo may be that game, right? Because we know the Carson Wentz versus Jared Goff, right? Number one versus number two, the 2016 draft class. It always comes back, and it's going to be exciting to see those two guys again. I feel like just Philadelphia, you know, that 10 a.m. start for the Rams is going to be tough, right? 10 a.m. Pacific, it'll be 1 o'clock on the East, but it'd be tough for the Rams getting acclimated fairly quickly. But I think being on the road that entire week, you know, just mind, body, soul, everything just coming in its own, and then going to Buffalo on the 27th and playing, that's the one I think that they get. So if you ask me now, I think they'll split those games on the East Coast and grab that one from Buffalo, right, rather than the one against Philadelphia. And so now you come home against the New York Giants sitting at 2-1, and you feel possibly pretty good because you don't know what you got yet with Daniel Jones. Right, he's still a young second-year player. Will he have a sophomore slump? We don't know. Look, New York still got some things, some pieces. Obviously, no Saquon Barkley is going to be their bell cow. They, you know, upgraded on the offensive line as well. But we're going to see the type of team that New York fields, and you know, they'll be done with the AFC. They'll be done with the NFC East in the first 5 weeks of the season.
think about this, Kirk. Just you know, before you even get to the Giants game, right. Damn. What a start. Like, to start the 2020 season, you get Cowboys, Eagles, and Bills. I mean, just how great is that? And if we want to go, I know the Giants and Redskins, those are not two teams that have had recent success, but just iconic teams, you know, like they're playing all these franchises that They've got all fantastic history, but just that first three out of the gate, I mean, it gets me excited to – we haven't had sports in 7 weeks. And to just look at this schedule, and it's so different than the NBA because NBA, when the schedule comes out, there's 82 games. So, yeah, I can get excited about who the Lakers are going to start the season with, who they're going to play on Christmas. But you're also playing each team. Some cases you're playing them four times. In many cases, because it's an 82-game stretch, it's obviously stretched to a longer season. The NFL, I feel like for the Rams, there aren't too many weeks where you're not excited about the matchup.
No, not at all. You're excited because you mentioned some iconic teams, right? Franchises that we've watched for a long time, but the Rams get their NFC East opponents out of the way fairly quickly. You mentioned it. Cowboys, Eagles, and then they'll go, you know, obviously the Bills sandwiched in between. But then you got New York Giants coming to SoFi. Then you go at Washington against the Redskins. So that to me just tells me that those are going to be some games where you're going to get a lot of fans, right? A lot of fans are going to be there, right? New York Giants fans. How many guys from New York want to come to LA as well?
That's right.
And I've said it before. Look, it is going to be a destination place. Right. I mean, hopefully everything is taken care of. We've gotten vaccines and immunities and all of that stuff because people want to travel. Right. And I know people from New York would love to come to L.A. Right. The LAX to or JFK to LAX. We love that flight. You get on that flight and come on down the road and go to the game. I mean, that's going to be huge for them. So, you know, for the Rams to get that part of it out of that early part of their schedule out of the way, they'll know who they are really quickly, right? Because Washington, you know, I'm just not going to just put them all the way down, but they're in a rebuilding year. Ron Rivera takes over as the new head coach. You got Dwayne Haskins, a second year player, taking over as the full time starter, they believe, at quarterback. So when you kind of look at where the Rams are, you have Dak Prescott, we still don't know his contract situation in week one. Mm-hmm. The Eagles and Carson Wentz. And look, hey, they drafted Jalen Hurts for a reason. Me and you, mm-hmm. we were talking about it, right? Oh, they picked draft Jalen Hurts. Oh, what's going on there? The Bills and Josh Allen, obviously still they want to get more offensive on their team. New York Giants, second-year quarterback Daniel Jones, second-year quarterback Dwayne Haskins, I mentioned in week five. So the first 5 weeks of the season, you're looking like Rams very well could be 4-1. Right.
I was going to say, is that 4-1 walking into that game against, let's see here, am I counting this right? Walking into that game against the 49ers?
Sunday Night Football. Mm. Right? Sunday Night Football. SNF. Yeah, you get that SNF. That Sunday Night Football.
Kirk, I'm keeping track right now. Right now, I got wins and losses. I got you at 4-1. And then coming in to San Francisco, which, look, let's not forget, you know, I mentioned it with Mason Ireland. Obviously, we all know, but one of the best games of the year last year, in my opinion, was Rams at San Francisco.
Yes.
They lose 34-31. It's as close of a game as can come, and we all know how good the 49ers were last year, and they'll probably be just as good this upcoming year. What do you think? Is that one of those where you feel the home team kind of splits?
Yeah, that's one of the games. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those which – you know, the 49ers, and as well as they played last year versus the Rams, you would think the 49ers, you know, play well at home and probably steal one from the Rams. I think, you know, I'm just looking at it right now. Now, as the season goes along, we're totally – you could throw whatever I'm saying and throw that out the window. But if you ask me right now, today, if these two teams were playing, I think I would lean toward the 49ers because we still don't know what it's going to look like without Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Dante Fowler, right? Some of the – I mean, this is reasonable thinking for us because the Rams did lose a lot offensively and defensively. And I think the 49ers, who still return a ton of starters, right? They lost DeForest Buckner in a trade, but yet they ended up getting Javon Kinlaw, right, to replace him, the kid out of South Carolina. They went out and got the receiver, Brandon Ayuk, out of Arizona State to replace Emmanuel Sanders. They still got a guy by the name of George Kittle, okay? So to me, I'm looking at this team as right where they were a year ago, and it's going to be tough for the Rams to get up to where I think the 49ers kind of are. But then the next week, it's another one at or home versus the Bears. Monday Night Football. All right. Mm-hmm. MNF. We get a little different. Who's going to be quarterbacking for the Chicago Bears? I'm taking the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it going to be Nick Foles? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Mitchell Trubisky? Right. Who knows? It could be Cam Newton. They could be looking for a quarterback. Bears just got to figure it out. So now the tricky game.
So this is trap game. This is a perfect one. So you got them 5-2 with one game left before the bye. Give us this final one, and then we'll go to break, and we come back, we'll do the back half. But what? Why is this game tricky to you?
I think the Miami Dolphins are a good team. I think they are a really good team. Now, we'll see what they'll have at the quarterback position. If Tua's playing by then, or is it still Ryan Fitzpatrick's team? This team, if you watch them play down the stretch, the Miami Dolphins were a really good football team coached by Brian Flores. These guys played hard defensively. Offensively, they started to come into an identity. And this year, they hired my former head coach, Chan Gailey, when I was with the Buffalo Bills, to come in and run this offense and tutor Tua Tagovailoa. So to me, this is a tough game. The Rams have to travel from L.A. to Miami and then have a bye week right after that. I just don't want the players to be thinking about the bye week because you may be limping into this game and you're worried about next week instead of worrying about this week. And that's where teams like the Miami Dolphins will sting you. And that's how I think the Rams kind of end up going 5-3 into the bye week.
Okay, so 5-3 through the first eight games. Let's do the second half of the schedule after this commercial break. Kirk Morrison and Alan Sliwa. It's been great to do this NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN. Just a quick reminder, all of this is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. We're committed to maintaining the health and safety for all Angelenos. Join our team today. Stay right here. Presented by LAPD, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. All right, Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA, coming up at 8 o'clock. Kirk, we're doing some predictions here. Man, I'm just shocked you had the Rams going 16-0. I would not have predicted that, but you know it better than I do, Kirk. You know it better than I do. Okay, so first half, you got them going 5-3.
Right.
The losses that you're just leaning towards, look, we know it's early. We have no idea if all these games are going to be played exactly as the schedule has it, but we're giving our predictions anyway. So the 5-3 came with a win over the Cowboys, a loss to the Eagles in week two, then a win over Buffalo in Buffalo, the Giants at Washington, lost to the 49ers, that's in San Francisco, win against the Bears, and then to close it out, some of those, that term that's used all the time, the trap game.
Yeah.
Lakers at it. Think of the Lakers trap game. They beat Milwaukee and the Clippers.
And they lost to the Nets.
They lost to Brooklyn. Okay. So
I remember that one.
I called it. we all have trap games. So let's jump to week 10. You got them right now sitting at 5-3.
I got them sitting 5-3. And I think coming out of the bye week, they're back at home, but they're back at their place. They're going to beat Seattle, I think, a nice game for them to rebound with. And then comes the crucial stretch, right? This is the tough one. I got them going to Tampa. And I think this is going to be a tough one, but I really believe that they're going to lose to Tampa Bay. It's just a Monday night game. Okay. First of all, Monday night, which for people have to understand, that game is played at 8:15 local time.
That's right. That's right.
8:15. So they're going to play that game and then have to fly all the way back home. They're going to miss probably a day of preparation. Okay. And then the day, so they'll get back sometime Tuesday morning-ish. So basically, you're kind of washed away on Tuesday. Wednesday, trying to get right back into it. And I told you, that week is Thanksgiving, so that Thursday. Okay? So it's going to be a busy week for the Rams, but I think that they rebound and they'll take care of business and beat the San Francisco 49ers. So I think they'll split, I mentioned, with the 49ers. So I got them coming 2-1 out of the break. And then this is where
so
I look.
So Seahawks win.
Yes.
Bucks lost, 49ers win. Kirk, let's stay real quick on Tampa.
Right.
What do you expect from Tampa? I mean, is it, and you would know better than anybody else, of course there's an unbelievable amount of hype right now with Tampa, and for great reasons. You know, the greatest quarterback of all time is joining their team. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski is there, but is the hype – is it too high or is it legit? I mean, what kind of team do you expect Tampa to be this upcoming season?
I think it's legit. I really do. I think it's legit hype, right? I think it's they were a good team last year. No one understands. They went 9-7 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Tampa Bay Buccaneers went 9-7 with Jameis Winston throwing 30 plus interceptions, but he still threw over 5,000 yards, threw 33, I think, touchdowns last year. They played well, but they didn't get a lot defensively. Okay. And then Jameis Winston obviously threw them out of some games as well. Tom Brady comes in and gives me belief. If I'm a player on that team, he gives me belief.
Sure.
All I got to do is just handle and do my job, handle mine, and I'm good, because Tom is going to take us to some victories, right? You add in now Rob Gronkowski. You got some offensive weapons. We'll see what they do with the running back position this year. It's going to be running back by committee. But, man, Tom Brady gives me just the belief, right? The belief that I can – if I do my job, I'll be just right. I'll be just fine. And I'm scared for the Rams with that game. It's a late night, Monday night game. You know, in Tampa, coming out of the bye week, couple weeks, you know, if they're a big emotional win at home versus Seattle, that's why I keep saying it's an emotional win, because I think they beat Seattle. Then they go on the road and have to play Monday night. They lose that game in the Thanksgiving week, and they'll be so jacked up, ready to roll, that they beat the 49ers in week 12. And then
what do you think of that week 13 at Cardinals?
Return to normalcy for them. I think that they win that game. Okay, this is where I think the Rams go on a nice little stretch, right? They go on a nice little stretch of games here, all right? They'll go and win that game, right? And then I think that they'll beat the Patriots in week 14. Patriots actually, people don't understand, Patriots actually will be in Los Angeles for a Sunday night game or a
against
Sunday
Chargers,
game
that's
versus
right.
the Chargers, then turn around and play a Thursday against the Rams. I got the Rams. All right. They'll be at home. They'll be fresh. They'll be ready to go. I got them beating the Patriots on a short week that week. So now I got the Rams winning that game. Jets game, kind of up in the air. But this is where I feel.
Why is that Jets game up in the air?
Well, because it's December 19th, December 20th. So it just depends. If the Jets are good, you probably put that game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah,
if the
Jets
are bad, they'll put that game on Sunday and bury it at like 10 a.m. in the morning. All right? Yeah, that's what happens. Remember last year, they didn't know. It was on the fence. So this game in particular, this where they give you two dates, last year that was San Francisco and the Rams, and we didn't know. And they said, uh-oh, San Francisco's good. The Rams are still fighting for a playoff spot. Let's put them on prime time Saturday night. And that's how the Rams ended up getting that prime time game last year. Okay, the Rams ended up playing six prime time games last year, by the way.
And you said five this year, right?
Five this year. Yeah. Last year they got six. So, yeah, that's how it happened for them. But this is where I still think they beat the Jets. And this is what scares me is those last two games, right? Because I feel like this is a team that they're going to go to Seattle, and that one's always a hard one. It's in Seattle, week 16.
Yeah, I give that to Seattle.
After the Christmas game. Oh, I mean, after Christmas, it's tough. It's tough. Tough. So I got them losing that game. And then we get to kind of the week 17, and I feel like the Rams may not play their starters because I don't think that they'll win the division. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that goes to San Francisco or Seattle. But I think the Rams will actually have a playoff berth now with having seven teams in each conference.
That's right.
One
huge.
Number one. Yeah. No one number one seed. And then you'll have three other division winners against three wild cards. I think the Rams will have a wild card wrapped up. They won't play their starters in week 17. They'll make the playoffs losing two in a row, going 10-6 right now. So that's you asking me right now, Alan, on May 7th, okay? May 7th, that's what I got. That's what I got for you right now. Rams 10-6, they make the playoffs, and they lose their final two. And the reason they lose week 17 is because they rest their starters because they'll play in the wild card weekend the following week.
And by the way, that record would have got you in last year. They ended up 9-7.
Right.
But this year, the 9-7 would have got you in because you, like you mentioned, that seventh team coming in.
Right. Last year, they would have made the playoffs. They would have played Green Bay. Had the new playoff format been around last year, the Rams would have made the playoffs and played Green Bay as the 7 seed versus the 2 seed Green Bay Packers.
All right. So look, 10-6, opening of SoFi Stadium. Once you're in, you're in. After that, it's up to you to go make it happen. A lot of it's going to have to do with matchups, but I think that's I think that's a good number. You know, I think the schedule, if you look at the challenges with that at Eagles, at Bills, we already right. know there's no reason for me to talk about the division because we know how challenging that's going to be. You got that at Tampa Bay that you say that you mentioned is going to be a tough one. You still got the Patriots coming here, so I think 10-6 is that sounds like a reasonable record for a team that went 9-7 and lost some key pieces in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at it and say, you made the playoffs, right? that's all that matters. You know, this extra playoff win. I mean, and I wouldn't want to play the Rams if they got to the playoffs, right? I just wouldn't. You know, they're going to be a team that can score points. That can score a point. That's why you have to like their chances if they get there. So 10-6. So now we're looking at a team where 10-6, we're like, oh, whatever. Even they could even go 9-7. He's like, oh, 9-7. But 9-7 can get you in the playoffs, and you're just trying to get into the tournament, man. I'm looking at the Tennessee Titans last year. They just got in barely as a 6 seed. Mm-hmm. They were a 6 seed last year, and they were one game away from reaching the Super Bowl, maybe one half away. They played well in the first half. They just – Patrick Mahomes and his magic toward the end of that first half, and in the second half, they went on and go to a Super Bowl and win the Kansas City Chiefs. But Tennessee showed everybody as a 6 seed. They can make some things happen.
All right, 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA, coming up next. Stay right here. This is the NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Want to welcome in Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA. Rich, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Thank you for thanks for joining the show. Okay, let us just get your initial thoughts. Kirk and I were just going through the entire schedule. We actually going just game by game giving our predictions. What are your overall thoughts of the schedule? I knew we knew, of course, what the matchups were going to be, but the primetime games, the dates, when the bye is going to be, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was curious to see how that East Coast travel would be handled. Rams have they have 5 games in the Eastern time zone, which is a lot, but that's kind of the same around the league. There's a lot of these East versus West, just the way the divisions line up. So knew there was going to be a lot of travel. Curious to see kind of how that was handled. A couple of things that jumped out at me right away. You got that early week 2 and week 3 where they're going to basically spend a week back east. Don't know exactly where, but after that week 2 game at Philadelphia, they'll stay. I don't know whether they'll stay in Philadelphia or they'll go to Buffalo or somewhere in between or anywhere around there. I don't know, but they'll be on the East Coast for that whole week and then play the Buffalo Bills. So that's a big thing early in the season. Week 2 and week 3 to have to spend that much time on the road. To play those early East Coast games, that'll be a challenge. And then the other thing that grabbed me is that stretch right after the bye. There's some tough games there. Talk about Seattle at home, going down to Tampa Bay. We don't know what they're going to look like. We presume they're going to be good. Come back and play the 49ers at home, and then have to go play the Arizona Cardinals, who suddenly don't look like pushovers at all. So that 4-game stretch there from mid-November into early December could end up telling us a lot about the outcome of this Rams season, I think.
So I think, Rich, what you're telling me is that it's imperative when we look at the Rams weeks 1 through 5, they got to get off to a hot start because they're taking on the NFC East, obviously, but I'm looking at the Cowboys, Eagles. You mentioned the Bills as well, that 2-week trip in Philly and Buffalo, and then 2 second-year quarterbacks in Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins. I'm saying that the Rams have to get off to that fast start because if they don't, like you mentioned, the second half of the season can be brutal where they may not get to 10 wins, 9 wins, and make the playoffs.
That's right. You don't want to get behind the eight ball with the schedule that you got here. And it's funny, you're looking, it's almost like a cliche to say, oh, the first game is the most important game. But it really is a great barometer game to have Dallas come in the first week of the season. I mean, talk about a tone setter. If the Rams win that game, then you set yourself up pretty nicely when you look at Eagles, Bills, Giants, Redskins. I mean, that's not a terribly, rough sounding schedule other than the travel that's involved there. But yeah, I agree with what's coming after that. You can't afford to come out of that. Certainly not 2-3. I mean, even 3-2, you're kind of playing around a little bit. A nice 4-1 start there, I think, would be pretty good for the Rams if you're hoping or believing that that team can go on to win a division title. So I agree. We're going to learn a lot about these Rams by the time we get to mid-October, I think.
Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA. Rich, it happens every year. There's no way around it. There's trap games that just it happens in the NBA. It happens in the NFL. Kirk and I think already picked our trap game for this season. What's a game that you think is on the schedule where you feel, oh yeah, that's going to be a win for the Rams, but could be one of those games we look back and say, damn, they really lost an opportunity on that one.
Yeah, the one that grabbed me right away was that Jets game near the end of the season, week 15. And, it comes on the heels of a big game against the Patriots, a Thursday night game that I'm sure will be kind of a spotlight game. And then there's some time off because they won't play that weekend, and they'll wait and see what happens with the schedule the following weekend, whether that's a Saturday or a Sunday game. And then you're looking ahead beyond that to two games to close the season that could be real important. Talking about at Seattle and then home against the Arizona Cardinals. So that was one that jumped out to me. The other one maybe being the Miami game right before the bye week. That's always one that you want to keep your eye on. You don't want guys looking ahead too far to that week off, and that being another East Coast road game that has an early start, 10 a.m. Pacific time start. Those are always a little bit dangerous. So those are the two that just kind of grabbed me immediately when I looked at the schedule.
You know, Rich, one of the things that I'm looking at here a little bit earlier that you had tweeted out, which I thought was a great just analysis by you, is just the turnover at SoFi Stadium. Will there be any turnover? I think for a lot of Angelinos, they understand the turnover between a Los Angeles Lakers game or a Los Angeles Clippers game and how you just basically, take out the floor, switch the rims, move out the banners, cover up banners, and you could play two games in one day. But when it comes to SoFi Stadium, you've got to switch an entire stadium around. Now, we know the New York Giants and Jets, they do it with their stadium, but it seems to be they won't have that difficulty this season with the Rams and the Chargers and the way their schedules align.
Yeah, right, Kirk. Yeah, I was wondering whether or not there would be any, like, Sunday, Monday or anything like that. There really isn't. I think the closest you get is talking about that Patriots game where the Rams play on a Thursday, and then I think the Chargers are in there the following Sunday. Yeah, I've been there, when the Rams played there, New York, a couple of years ago. I think they were playing the Giants, and I actually saw when I was up there in the press box writing my story how they were starting to change it over. It was fascinating to watch, kind of just even how they pulled the turf up out of the end zone to change the logos there. So it was really something to behold. I think in general, the way that SoFi Stadium was built and the way it's kind of designed, so much of it is digital that I think they probably would have a leg up over some of these stadiums that were built a little while ago. There's not a lot of physical kind of signage or things that you would have to move. Certainly, again, you'd have to take care of the field and the logos, whatever branding they had with banners and things like that. But so much of it is digital now that I think it wouldn't be as difficult maybe as it was 5 years ago or so. But it doesn't look like they're going to test that, at least
right.
Not yet. Now, who knows? Now, if these teams make the playoffs, if both of them were to make the playoffs, then certainly we could see that situation, but not in the regular season, it looks like.
Rich, I know it's super early, but we'll try and give our predictions on this. If you're predicting the NFC West and just kind of ranking from best record in the NFC West down to the fourth, how would that look for you?
Yeah, boy, it is I can't remember it being tougher, and that sounds like a cop-out, but I'm talking about top to bottom, 1 through 4. I can't remember it ever being tougher than this. I have to put San Francisco there. When you're on the top of the hill until somebody knocks you off, that's who you are. That's where you are. I'm curious to see whether or not they have a little bit of the same regression that the Rams had last year. It's a different story when you're kind of that top dog, when everybody's gunning for you. But I still put them right there. I put Seattle second. I do put the Rams third, but I'm not sleeping on the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they're a team that you look at, and I think they're going to have higher expectations than people expected just a few months ago with some of the upgrades that they've made, good draft picks, good offseason choices. I'm not sure whether they're quite there yet, but they're certainly not a team you're going to see as a pushover. So, but I think it could go any way. I honestly do. I really think, I don't know whether I see the Cardinals winning the division necessarily, but I could easily see any of those other three teams making it. And I could see three of those teams making the playoffs, considering that they're now expanded to where you get another team. So you easily could see the top three teams in that division making the playoffs.
You know, Rich, one of the interesting things that I'm going to look at with this Rams team, honestly, is that over the last couple of years, it's been easier for veterans. But a lot of those older veterans are no longer here, right? Todd Gurley is no longer here. Dante Fowler, Clay Matthews, Eric Weddle, Corey Littleton. I mean, the list is long. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see, how does Sean McVay treat training camp this year? And how does he treat the season as a whole, where he would rest a lot of guys, where honestly, you may be going into week one with a lot of guys who are untested that need the play during preseason training camp and in early parts of the regular season that we have seen in years past.
Yeah, I agree. And let's assume for a second that the training camp does start on time, and right. I hope it does for all the reasons, right? But yeah, I agree with you. And it's not just that, but it's that new defensive system too.
Correct.
Now they just hired a new coordinator. You talked about all the personnel that they have coming in. They need that time. Now they're trying to do it now. They got the Zoom meetings and all the stuff that they've sent out the tablets with the playbook so that everybody can start learning. But you know, it's not the same. It's not the same when you're in front of your laptop versus out there on the field. So I agree. The other part of it though, the other side of it, you don't want to push too hard. Because you don't want to see, the first week of training camp, you start to blow these guys out, and then you've got hamstrings and ankles and groins and everything else. So it's definitely going to be a challenge between you want to make sure these guys are physically ready and that they know what's going on, but you don't want to put yourself in a bad spot with injuries, too. So definitely a big challenge.
Rich, greatly appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you for giving your thoughts. I know on a night like tonight, a lot going on, but it's good to have that schedule released, and we'll see what happens in the upcoming months, but we greatly appreciate your time.
For sure, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, that's Rich Hammond right there, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA. 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by joinlapd.com. We're committed to maintaining the health and safety of all Angelenos. Join our team today. Kirk, we gotta jump around the league a little bit. We kept rolling here with the Rams. How about we talk a little Raiders? We talk a little bit of Chargers. We'll take a look at their schedules when we come back. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's do that. NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN, presented by Join LAPD. I'm Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on the broadcast as well. Yeah. And they want to travel to LA, and they just want to watch their team play. But there's going to be such a draw to see this new stadium as well. How tough do you think it's going to be for the Chargers, just in general? I mean, think about how tough it was at Dignity Health, where they not only couldn't sell out a stadium, a 25,000-seat stadium, but when they did, there was a lot of fans from opposing teams. I think that challenge isn't going to go anywhere this upcoming year.
Well, I think also, too, the NFL is kind of telling us what they think, right? The NFL told us what they think about the Chargers, right? They didn't have to say it. They just showed us. The Rams have 5 primetime games. The Chargers, they have 2. The Rams have 3 home primetime games, which that means national TV. Everyone can watch. And they have 2 road primetime games. The Los Angeles Chargers, like I mentioned, they have two primetime games. Zero at SoFi, two on the road. So that tells me the NFL, they don't have to say a word. Mm-hmm. I can see with my own eyes.
Actions speak louder than words.
They don't want to show that stadium on Monday night football, on Sunday night football, on Thursday night, where that stadium is filled with the opposing team's fans, right?
Can you imagine them playing SoFi Monday night game? Just listen, this is the truth, right? Can you imagine that game, a Monday night game, Chargers and the Raiders from SoFi? Could you imagine that?
Oh, yes, I can. I can't imagine it. It wouldn't be good for the home team. Yeah,
it'd be a sellout.
No, it wouldn't be good for the home team. So that's why I'm saying, like, the schedule makers, the NFL, they've told us what they feel about the Chargers this year, right? They've still got some work they got to do, right? The prime time games let you know. My former team, you know, shout out to my Buffalo Bills. They got five primetime games, man. They've been working hard. I mean, it was literally, it was times where you only got that one national TV game. It was that one Thursday night game. That's all you got all year. And Buffalo's worked themselves into a nice five primetime game package. That means that you're doing something good. I mean, people want to watch you. And, and you're playing an exciting brand of football. You make a couple playoff appearances. Good things happen, and that's where the Chargers, they have to be. All right, they got to get things done. I think for them, with the uncertainty at quarterback, is Justin Herbert really going to be ready to play early on, or is this Tyrod Taylor's team? I think had they signed Cam Newton and then drafted Herbert or something like that, maybe you have more intrigue, more excitement right now. But to be honest, what's the buzz around Chargers football right now outside of Justin Herbert, right? You've got some good players. I mean, they're a solid team. Well, we know defense it can win you championships, but it doesn't sell tickets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get a lot of people's eyeballs to the television. It's about offense. It's about the quarterback position, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen it in the last two MVPs have been who? It's been Patrick Mahomes and this last season, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's what the excitement is. That's what the national TV people want to see. And right now, that's the uncertainty with the Chargers, and I think that's why they're not getting the love nationally when it comes to the primetime games.
And listen, here's the reality, Kirk. And look, there's only so much they can control, and we can get into that because I think that's important. The reality is they're not drawing interest from L.A. You know what I mean? So like that we can talk about it from a national stage and a national perspective, and you use Buffalo as an example. They got five primetime games. Yeah. Well, in Buffalo, you're never going to have an issue of whether your fan base in Buffalo is rooting for you.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Like, there's something cool. And I always – these are the types of things I think I appreciate most in sports. I was really cool to see Buffalo last year have the type of run that they did, right? I was rooting for them in the playoffs as if I was born and raised in Buffalo. You know, you just – you get caught up in this, damn, I want to see them succeed. How cool is this? You don't typically see this franchise in this position. The Chargers, there's an obstacle that I just don't think there's any solution for on the short term, right? And I think that we've talked about this before. This is a fan base that cheers for the Rams. It's a fan base that also cheers for the Raiders. And then there's also a lot of other transplants that are in Southern California that might root for their Vikings or their Packers or Cowboys or whatever the case is. For the Chargers, they're going to have their challenges, but I think from a team perspective, what are you going to do? Like, honestly, all these guys can do, you mentioned that you feel that they're them and the Raiders, the second best team in the division. And I think you have felt pretty good about the Chargers just in general, that they're a decent team. They might not be a sexy team, but they're a decent team. Their schedule's not that bad. I mean, if you look at their schedule, it seems like they're definitely not in a division as competitive as the Rams are. There's a lot of winnable games here for a franchise that's trying to do something in L.A.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some winnable games. I mean, this team is – I still think that they're going to be right there in terms of the playoff picture right now with the expansion to 7. So now each division has 16 teams, right? We got to remember 16 teams per conference. I'm sorry. I said division. Mm-hmm. Conference. Mm-hmm. There's 16 teams per conference. 7 will make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The other 9 will just be at home just chilling. So 7 teams now have a chance to get into the tournament. I look at the Chargers roster and I start to look at the entire AFC landscape. And I'm saying there's no reason this team shouldn't be fighting for a playoff spot.
Of course, I agree with you.
They didn't drop that far from when they were made it to the playoffs a couple of years ago and actually beat Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. So to me, they are a team that's right there. It's just what are they going to get or what are they going to get from the quarterback position? That's what it's all going to come down to. Right, is Justin Herbert going to be able to do some things? Is Tyrod Taylor? That's what it's all about. You got Austin Eckler back, Hunter Henry, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I mean, you've got guys now. All right, you've got some ballers over there that can make some things happen defensively. They went out and got a couple of players. We talk about Kenneth Murray, the linebacker they traded up to get, you know, from out of Oklahoma. They've already got the Derwin James. They signed Chris Harris. I mean, we can name the players that they have. They're going to be a better team. I just don't know if they can catch where Kansas City is. Kansas City's that team that, you know, when the varsity letters come out and they say, oh, this team's returning 20 of 22 starters, right? They've got 13 seniors on offense and 15 on defense. You can only play 11 guys, but that's what it is. That's what Kansas City's working with, okay? And so that's what I think that when I look at the Chargers is that, first of all, know who you are, okay? Don't try to be something that you're not. Because that's when you get called out the moat. When you try to be something like, no, that's not you. Just be who you are. Right now, you got to play the underdog role. You're the underdog in your own city. You're going to be the underdog on the road. But if that's the mentality that you have to play, that's who you are. Don't try to change it.
You got to accept it.
That's just who you're going to be. And you start to win and you start to win. And guess what? People will change. People will fall in love with it. Okay? They will. Promise me. I promise you they will. But if you start to try to do things differently, then people will call you out for it.
Well, the only thing they got right so far, those jerseys aren't bad, Kirk.
Yeah, you're right about that. I do give them that. I give them credit. Those jerseys they're iconic, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different because when you look at some of those jerseys, you're kind of understand that's who they are. That's part of their history, too.
Let me sneak one call in, Manuel from Gardena. Manuel, appreciate you calling into the show.
Oh, pregúntale a Kirk. First off, man, my man Kirk Morrison knows I've been a big fan of his since he was in the Silver and Black as a rookie. So I'm loving this show, man, like usual. I got a little special treat for you, Sliwa. I'm not going to take up much of you guys' time. I mean, we already know the Raiders are going 16-0, so we'll just leave it at that.
All right, all right.
The quarantine sports talk machine. It's Sliwa after dark, 710 hip hop scene, ESPN and Alan Sliwa, reggae maxed out. Slee stacks cash, spins until his credit cards are maxed out. On the beach, in the hill, in the sets, from 6:30 to 9, it's Sliwa after sunset with Kurt and Jess and Kirk. God bless.
Look at you, Manuel. Look at you, man.
Thanks, Manuel. Appreciate it.
You guys are doing the damn thing on ESPN 710. And, hey, man, I'm with you guys every night. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Manuel. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. How about that, Kirk?
Dude, absolutely.
This dude making it happen. All right, let me read off a great partner of ours that helped make the show possible. 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by joinlapd.com. We're committed to maintaining the health and safety of all Angelenos. Join our team today. So thank you to Manuel, by the way. NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN is presented by Join LAPD. When we come back, Kirk, we'll get into the Raiders schedule. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. All right, if you missed any part of the show, you can always go back on the app there. Everything actually is going to be on the Lakers Talk page for now. We had COO for the Rams, Kevin Demhoff. He came on, joined the show. Rich Ammon was on as well from The Athletic LA. Hey, Kirk, just real quick before we jump to the Raiders, what do you do if you're the Chargers? Are you – I kind of have this philosophy, and I'll get your thoughts on it. I think there are certain teams, yes, it might make sense. You're in a desperate position, desperate situation. You want to start that first-round quarterback that you just drafted. You want to start him right away. But you think the Chargers are in a position here with Tyrod Taylor? What's the rush? You know what I mean? Like, why would you – can't you wait 8, 10, 12 weeks? By the way, you could probably even wait the entire season before you put Justin Herbert in there. Do you feel like there's a rush for the Chargers?
The rush will be early on if they're not winning games. Then you got to put a rush to put the young kid in, right? That's what it's going to be. You have to find, you know, what's going to be, okay, this is what happens, you know, in this part of the season. We're not playing well, then you pull the ripcord. It's a lot of pressure on Anthony Lynn after going to the playoffs and then last year not making it. And you draft a quarterback this year who you think is going to be a franchise quarterback, right? Remember, you parted ways with Philip Rivers, or they mutually agreed to part ways, so people call it. But, you know, Justin Herbert's supposed to be an upgrade, all right? You've said that Tyrod Taylor is going to be your guy for right now. This roster is too talented for them not to be, I think, in the hunt throughout the season. And if not, should be in the playoffs, if you ask me. They should be. They don't make the playoffs, and I think some heads will roll. But the only part is who's going to be the one quarterbacking it. I love Tyrod Taylor. I think he's a good quarterback, but sometimes you just know who a guy is. He's a backup quarterback. He's been a career backup. Would I love him manning my offense? You darn right, as the backup, not as a starter. Right? I remember one of my teammates used to always say this about a player, and it just always stuck with me, but he used to call him Milk. And I said, why you call him Milk? He said, because he plays like milk. I said, I don't get it. He was like, he plays like milk because it tastes good for a while, and there's always an expiration date, right? You got to throw it away. Like, it lasts for a little bit, but it's going to have an expiration date, and you want to make sure you get away from it before it turns bad. And that's what happens with Tyrod. He's not necessarily a bad quarterback, but you know what your limitations are going to be with him. You know what he is going to give you week in and week out. Sometimes it's just not enough. And that's not a knock on him. It's just who you are as a quarterback. He's a holdover kind of quarterback. And that's the reason why he's lasted so long, because he's always understood his role. When he's been called upon, he's handled his business. But now telling the guy who's been in backup for the last couple of years that, hey, you're going to be a starter, but the guy behind me, we just picked number 6 overall. Yeah, he's probably going to be our future. Okay. Yeah. I see how long that lasts.
Yeah, it's always I don't know what that balance is, and I know for each team it's different. But, you know, you've had great quarterbacks that – have sat for half the first season. They've sat the entire first season.
Right.
You just never know what that balance is, right? And maybe what you're saying, it just comes down simply to this. If there's pressure there, if there's a coach whose job is on the line who just drafted somebody with their high draft pick, like you said, top 10 in this position for the Chargers at number 6, I don't know if from a long-term perspective, is it more beneficial for Justin Herbert to just kind of watch and see how things go for X amount of games before you say, let's throw him in? But the Chargers are in a kind of a unique position. Most teams that do that, they're not expected to win. You think the Chargers are expected to win some games this year?
I think they are. And let's go back to Kansas City, the same team within their division. Kansas City was a team that drafted Patrick Mahomes, but they had Alex Smith at the quarterback position. Alex Smith played well. He was a Pro Bowler. This was a team that went to the playoffs every single year. And yet they felt that there was a limitation to Alex Smith. There was a ceiling that he had already reached, and they weren't going to get any better with him at the quarterback position. They played with him for one more season, and then they handed the keys over to Patrick Mahomes. The rest is history. Is that going to be the case here? There is no incumbent starter for the Chargers. So you're hoping Tyrod Taylor can give you a year of work and get you to a playoff, because you know it's going to be Justin Herbert's team come 2021 at the latest. But I've been saying it. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, tell me the last rookie quarterback to get drafted that didn't play his rookie season. It's just, we can't do it. You can't find it. And even still, I know Patrick Mahomes, let me stop, he did play in week 17 because the Chiefs were resting starters, and he just went out there and destroyed the Broncos, and we're like, okay, this kid's gonna be good. But other than that, like, these rookie quarterbacks are gonna play. And so it's a little bit different.
It's just a matter of when, at what exactly point in the season they play. Yep.
And it's similar to the other team that's going to be playing not too far from SoFi in their own brand new stadium, the Las Vegas Raiders. Their quarterback situation, similar, very similar, except that you have a guy who's been there, people say is the guy, and yet they went out and signed Marcus Mariota as a backup quarterback gave him a nice pretty penny too, not typical backup money to compete for the job to be Derek Carr's backup, but he's also a guy that if anything does happen with Derek Carr, you throw Marcus Mariota in, and they feel like they can resurrect his career from what it looked like over in Tennessee when Tannehill took his job last year. So, look, you got a new stadium opening up over in Las Vegas not too far away, and if you got a quarterback that's playing under par, right, is not playing up to the standard that people are starting to boo in your new stadium, you got to fix it. And you got to fix it fast. And that's where I say the Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders are in similar circumstances when it comes to the quarterback position, because they don't have that guy that everyone just has the confidence in. It's to the point where it's like, man, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Milk. I love that. I love that example right there.
hey, Kirk, so some players are like that, right? I would use the reference of Rajon Rondo. That'd be a better reference for you. He's like milk. He'd be good during the season, and then all of a sudden you get to the playoffs, that thing was rotten.
Mm-hmm. By the way, in Rondo's case, his title's playoff Rondo. So
playoff Rondo. I should say that. Yeah, he's the reverse of the milk. I would say
he better be at his best on playoff time. But Kirk, so looking at the Raiders for a quick second. So. They start the season off against Carolina. I'll just point out some of the big games. New Orleans, correct. Patriots, obviously Kansas City they're going to face twice. Tampa Bay, another big game that they'll have. The Chargers, just obviously from a divisional standpoint. You mentioned this to me when we were doing the draft. You thought the Raiders and the Chargers would be competing for that second spot in the AFC West, and you actually gave the Raiders the edge. After the draft and after kind of things settled down a little bit, now we're sitting here analyzing both team schedules. Do you still think the Raiders are the second best team in the AFC West?
I think so. I think that they're right there. I put the Raiders and the Chargers like 2A, 2B, right? Because I can't just put them right behind Kansas City. I think there's Kansas City, there's a mystery team, and then there's the Raiders and Chargers, and then there's the Broncos. Right, because there's like a team in between the Raiders and the Chargers. That's how good I think Kansas City is, right? Like, you have to put another team in between them before you can actually rate them, because that's where they are. I mean, we're talking about the defending Super Bowl champions, Patrick Mahomes, everybody coming back. They've got better, and they drafted a running back in the first round in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I look at the Raiders right now, and if you look at their schedule, look, it's not going to be easy, right? They go on the road to Carolina. That's going to be tough, that first game. We saw how tough it was for the Rams last year. But then they get to open up on Monday Night Football against who? A Hall of Famer, Drew Brees. Ouch. That's not going to be fun. But that's the way the schedule kind of shakes out for the Raiders. Then they go on the road later on in the season. See, to me, the Rams got away. They got away because they're getting all of their, I call them 10 a.m. starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They're getting all those games out of the way early in their schedule. They'll be done with their East Coast early games the first weekend of October. So they got the ones against the Eagles and Bills in week 2 and 3, and in Washington in week 5, where they played all those early games for them. They don't have to worry about the East Coast games anymore, like the early mornings. So that's good for them, where the Chargers, Raiders, they're going to have to deal with those games. Those are going to be the tough games. Right, that body clock. I've been there before, man. Those are the tough games where you got to travel all day, and you get there, and then all of a sudden, you got to wake the body up at 7 a.m. Right, the 10 a.m. kick. Even though it's later in the day, it just feels like it. So,
Kirk, listen,
it's one of those things they have to go through.
I've been there too, man. I'm trying to figure out what time do I wake up for the 10 a.m. game, right? what I'm going to grab for the 1 o'clock game. It's not easy, Kirk. You know, I'm looking at it from the other side, sitting on my couch. By the way, for the Chargers schedule, they start the season, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, right? And then seventh week of the season, Miami against Tua Tagovailoa. Man, I had it there, Kirk.
You had it, man. Tua Tagovailoa, you had it.
Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go.
But the seventh week, that's who they go up against. And I know you were saying, we were talking about Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert is getting some starts here within the first couple of weeks, man, those are some fantastic matchups to just start looking at some rookie quarterbacks. This is the one thing that we have not done yet. we haven't talked about the biggest games that we're both looking forward to on the NFL schedule. So let's do that coming up next. Quick reminder, 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Stay right here. Alan Sue and Kirk Morrison coming up next. NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN. All right, Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA, coming up at 8 o'clock. Kirk, we're doing some predictions here. Man, I'm just shocked you had the Rams going 16-0. I would not have predicted that, but you know it better than I do, Kirk. You know it better than I do. Okay, so first half, you got them going 5-3.
Right.
The losses that you're just leaning towards, look, we know it's early. We have no idea if all these games are going to be played exactly as the schedule has it, but we're giving our predictions anyway. So the 5-3 came with a win over the Cowboys, a loss to the Eagles in week two, then a win over Buffalo in Buffalo, the Giants at Washington, lost to the 49ers, that's in San Francisco, win against the Bears, and then to close it out, some of those, that term that's used all the time, the trap game.
Yeah.
Lakers at it. Think of the Lakers trap game. They beat Milwaukee and the Clippers.
And they lost to the Nets.
They lost to Brooklyn, okay? So
I remember that one.
I called it. we all have trap games. So let's jump to week 10. You got them right now sitting at 5-3.
I got them sitting 5-3, and I think coming out of the bye week, they're back at home, but they're back at their place. They're going to beat Seattle, I think, a nice game for them to rebound with. And then comes the crucial stretch, right? This is the tough one. I got them going to Tampa, and I think this is going to be a tough one, but I really believe that they're going to lose to Tampa Bay. It's just a Monday night game, okay? First of all, Monday night, which – for people have to understand, that game is played at 8:15 local time.
That's right. That's right.
8:15. So they're going to play that game and then have to fly all the way back home. They're going to miss probably a day of preparation. Okay. And then the day, so they'll get back sometime Tuesday morning-ish. So basically, you're kind of washed away on Tuesday. Wednesday, trying to get right back into it. And I told you, that week is Thanksgiving. So that Thursday. Okay. So it's going to be a busy week for the Rams, but I think that they rebound and they'll take care of business and beat the San Francisco 49ers. So I think they'll split, I mentioned, with the 49ers. So I got them coming 2-1 out of the break. And then this is where
so
I look.
So Seahawks win.
Yes.
Bucks loss, 49ers win. Kirk, let's stay real quick on Tampa.
Right.
What do you expect from Tampa? I mean, is it, and you would know better than anybody else. Of course, there's an unbelievable amount of hype right now with Tampa, and for great reasons. You know, the greatest quarterback of all time is joining their team. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski is there, but is the hype, is it too high or is it legit? I mean, what kind of team do you expect Tampa to be this upcoming season?
I think it's legit. I really do. I think it's legit hype, right? I think it's they were a good team last year. No one understands. They went 9-7 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went 9-7 with Jameis Winston throwing 30-plus interceptions, but he still threw over 5,000 yards, threw 33, I think, touchdowns last year. They played well, but they didn't get a lot defensively, okay? And then Jameis Winston obviously threw them out of some games as well. Tom Brady comes in and gives me belief. If I'm a player on that team, he gives me belief.
Sure.
All I got to do is just handle and do my job, handle mine, and I'm good because Tom is going to take us to some victories. Right, you add in now Rob Gronkowski. You got some offensive weapons. We'll see what they do with the running back position this year. It's going to be running back by committee. But, man, Tom Brady gives me just the belief, right, the belief that I can – if I do my job, I'll be just right. I'll be just fine. And I'm scared for the Rams with that game. It's a late-night, Monday-night game, you know, in Tampa, coming out of the bye week, couple weeks, you know, after a big emotional win – at home versus Seattle. That's why I keep saying it's an emotional win because I think they beat Seattle. Then they go on the road and have to play Monday night. They lose that game. Then Thanksgiving week. And they'll be so jacked up, ready to roll, that they beat the 49ers in week 12. And then
what do you think of that week 13 at Cardinals?
Return to normalcy for them. I think that they win that game. Okay. This is where I think the Rams go on a nice little stretch, right? They go on a nice little stretch of games here. All right. They'll go and win that game, right? And then I think that they'll beat the Patriots in week 14. Patriots actually, people don't understand, Patriots actually will be in Los Angeles for a Sunday night game or a Sunday game versus the Chargers, then turn around and play a Thursday against the Rams. I got the Rams. All right. They'll be at home. They'll be fresh. They'll be ready to go. I got them beating the Patriots on a short week that week. So now I got the Rams winning that game. Jets game, kind of up in the air. But this is where I feel.
Why is that Jets game up in the air?
Well, because it's December 19th, December 20th. So it just depends. If the Jets are good, you probably put that game on Saturday. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jets are bad, they'll put that game on Sunday and bury it at like 10 a.m. in the morning. All right? Yeah, that's what happens. Remember last year, they didn't know. It was on the fence. So this game in particular, this where they give you two dates, last year that was San Francisco and the Rams, and we didn't know. And they said, uh-oh, San Francisco's good. The Rams are still fighting for a playoff spot. Let's put them on prime time Saturday night. And that's how the Rams ended up getting that prime time game last year. Okay, the Rams ended up playing six prime time games last year, by the way.
And you said five this year, right?
Five this year. Yeah. Last year they got six. So, yeah, that's how it happened for them. But this is where I still think they beat the Jets. And this is what scares me is those last two games, right? Because I feel like this is a team that they're going to go to Seattle, and that one's always a hard one. It's in Seattle, week 16.
Yeah, I give right that to
after
Seattle.
After the Christmas game. Oh, I mean, after Christmas, it's tough. So I got them losing that game. And then we get to kind of the week 17, and I feel like the Rams may not play their starters because I don't think that they'll win the division, okay? I think that goes to San Francisco or Seattle. But I think the Rams will actually have a playoff berth now with having seven teams in each conference.
That's right.
One number one seed, and then you'll have three other division winners against three wild cards. I think the Rams will have a wild card wrapped up. They won't play their starters in week 17. They'll make the playoffs losing two in a row going 10-6 right now. So that's you asking me right now, Alan, on May 7th, okay? May 7th, that's what I got. That's what I got for you right now. Rams 10-6, they make the playoffs, and they lose their final two. And the reason they lose week 17 is because they rest their starters because they'll play in the wild card weekend the following week.
And by the way, that record would have got you in last year. They ended up 9-7.
Right.
But this year, the 9-7 would have got you in because you, like you mentioned, that seventh team coming in.
Right. Last year, they would have made the playoffs. They would have played Green Bay. Had the new playoff format been around last year, the Rams would have made the playoffs and played Green Bay as the 7th seed versus the 2 seed Green Bay Packers.
All right. So look, 10-6, opening of SoFi Stadium. Once you're in, you're in. After that, it's up to you to go make it happen. A lot of it's going to have to do with matchups. But I think I think that's a good number. You know, and I think the schedule, if you look at the challenges with that at Eagles, at Bills, we already know there's no reason for me to talk about the division because we know how challenging that's going to be. You got that at Tampa Bay that you say that you mentioned is going to be a tough one. You still got the Patriots coming here. So I think 10-6 is that sounds like a reasonable record for a team that went 9-7 and lost some key pieces in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at it and say, you made the playoffs, right? that's all that matters. You know, this extra playoff win. I mean, and I wouldn't want to play the Rams if they got to the playoffs, right? I just wouldn't. You know, they're going to be a team that can score points. That can score points. That's why you have to like their chances if they get there. So 10-6. So now we're looking at a team where 10-6, we're like, oh, whatever. Even they can even go 9-7. He's like, oh, 9-7. But 9-7 can get you in the playoffs, and you're just trying to get into the tournament, man. I'm looking at the Tennessee Titans last year. They just got in barely as a 6th seed. They were a 6th seed last year, and they were one game away from reaching the Super Bowl. Maybe one half away. They played well in the first half. They just, Patrick Mahomes and his magic toward the end of, that first half, and in the second half, they went on and go to a Super Bowl and win the Kansas City Chiefs. But Tennessee showed everybody as a sixth seed that they can make some things happen.
All right, 710 ESPN's NFL schedule release special is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Rich Hammond, staff editor and NFL writer for The Athletic LA, coming up next. Stay right here. This is the NFL schedule release special on 710 ESPN.